want you to hit me as hard as you can.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
This is my boomstick!
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Let's put a smile on that face.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Rewind It Back podcast. This is, I think it's episode 77 of the show here, and we're continuing our trend with movies that are just classics, anywhere from comedy to drama. We have Joe here. Joe, how are you, my friend?
Hanging in there to the best I can. So for our astute listeners, we took a small hiatus in the month of October for the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League playoffs. They made it all the way to the NLCS, where they broke our hearts in seven games to the lowlife ass Arizona Diamondbacks. So kudos to the Phillies, and the Eagles are 8-1.
Okay, so as I mentioned, we are continuing this trend of we're going to add another John Candy to our resume of movies that we reviewed here, but we're going to do the one, and I believe the only one, that he had a leading role in. We're going to do Uncle Buck.
Where do you live?
City.
You have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
Still one night.
Buck, we have a problem with the kids. We're stuck for somebody to watch them.
Oh, please, not that.
Can we trust him?
My brother, for God's sake.
I won't let him get into that Satan stuff or any of the new chicks. I'll leave that for me. I'm kidding, huh?
Now, he's making them breakfast.
Cigar?
No, thanks.
Making them lunch. And making them crazy.
What did you do?
He's irresistible.
And I want to ask you why I'm so attracted to you.
I wouldn't even guess at that.
Whoa.
He's unbelievable.
I'm Anita Horgar.
I'm Buck Melanoma. Molly Russell's wart.
He's...
Would you just...
John Candy. As Uncle Buck.
What does he like to drink? I've been leaving the toilet seats up. Is that what the blue water is? It's not good for him, huh?
Uncle Buck. The new comedy from John Hughes.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid, that's my job.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
So this is simply John Candy's best film, second only to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Movie was directed and written by John Hughes, and it just seems like John Hughes was really like the only director that knew what to do with someone like John Candy. The character of Uncle Buck, he's everything from completely charming to a complete fucking slob of a person. And he invades his niece's and his nephew's life because he's taking care of them for further notice, because his sister-in-law had to fly to, I believe, St. Louis or somewhere because her father was sick. But every scene in this film is memorable, and it's really unfortunate that someone like John Candy, who was a comedic genius, is no longer with us, but he'll always be remembered in classics like this: Home Alone, Planes, Trains, Automobiles,
Spaceballs.
Joe's personal favorite is Spaceballs. John Candy was perfect for this role. Mm-hmm. And I was reading, doing some research prior to the show here about, I'm always curious as to like who are the runner-ups in any movie that we do, or but so the runner-ups to play this role of Uncle Buck were Danny DeVito, Tom Cruise, George Windit, just to name a few.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Back up a minute. Danny DeVito, I can see. George Wendt, I can see. I mean, everybody who's seen Cheers knows George Wendt. Fine. And then obviously Danny DeVito, come on. But Tom Cruise auditioned for this role.
It's on IMDb. Danny DeVito, Tom Cruise, Dan Aykroyd, George Windit, Michael Keaton, and Ed O'Neill. And Ed O'Neill, everyone would know him as Al Bundy. So they were all considered for the role too.
you know, having seen all of them do a comedy movie, Tom Cruise comes in last place.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise, like, this was the 80s, so he were like,
he was huge.
Around,
I get
he
that.
We're around, like, Top Gun, so he was.
But
his name alone sells. But
it does. But, like, if you look at what but he's not really that comedic of an actor, at least not at this time of period in the 1980s and early 90s. I mean, nobody thought, you know, Top Gun was funny. Sure, it sold $11 trillion, but, like, sure, I mean, he did Risky Business, and that's a funny movie. It's not Uncle Buck. It's not the sort of pseudo slapstick. I mean, the whole point of Uncle Buck is that he's supposed to be the slovenly, unfit brother of some respected businessman pressed into service at the last minute to take care of a couple of kids. Like, it's like Tom Cruise doesn't fit that, and Michael Keaton doesn't really either. Al Bundy with his hand in his pants on the couch totally fits that bill.
Yeah, but no, you're exactly right. I mean, because Uncle Buck is a lovable character who,
yeah.
I mean, he's definitely irresponsible at times, but he loves his brother, and he loves his brother's children like his own. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later as we go, but he winds up trying to deal with more than he bargained for when he must keep track of his oldest niece, who just the whole time tests limits with him while her parents aren't home. And it's really funny, touching, something that John Candy does very well.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is worth renting, streaming, any of those that you
it's
really
required. It's required viewing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as you pointed out in the intro, you know, John Candy has been mostly a, you know, side bit character actor, second chair to other great actors in movies. I mean, he was, you know, right next to Bill Pullman in Spaceballs, for example. And, you know, he had a minor role in Home Alone, which ended up being a great role because it just how he did it all in a day and had a great time doing it. He's not known for commanding the stage or commanding the screen as a solo presence, but here you can really tell that he embraced having to be the front line the whole time. You know, everything he did from start to finish was it was funny, but not over the top like Chris Farley, who was like the next John Candy, if you want to call it that. Because John Candy wasn't really a physical comedian. He was kind of, you know, he's a big guy. He's kind of oafy, and you know, he played the part of these sort of lumbering, oafy, slovenous characters relatively well, but he wasn't like jumping through tables or fat guy in a little coat that came later with Chris Farley. And so he still had a good sense of drama and a good sense of when to turn off the hand. I think we have Jim on tonight.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Wonderful.
We were just talking about just Uncle Buck as the character, Jim.
Good old Uncle Buck.
So yeah, I mean, he was John Candy, born to play this role of just a irresponsible fat slob at times, but a really genuine person that, even though he got more than what he bargained for, taking care of his nieces and nephew, he still, you know, he loved them dearly. So with that being said, I mean, we'll go down, you know, scene by scene of everything in this movie first, but because I know that's going to take some time. But the one thing I want to talk about real first is the family itself. So this was Macaulay Culkin's first film. And in fact, like after doing this film, John Hughes specifically wrote Home Alone for Macaulay Culkin. So this is his first movie. And he and the youngest niece too, who's around the same age as him, I guess at the time of like six, they're awesome in this movie. I know a majority of the time we talk about, you know, sometimes kids in movies, they're annoying, but I thought they were great. The oldest one, Tia, she's the high school student, which is really weird because I've never really thought of this before, but Tia's in high school and the other two are in elementary school. Or even pre-K. So, you know, Cindy and Bob Russell did some young fucking there probably.
We'll just call that an oops.
Yeah. So they picked great actors and actresses to play the kids. Mm-hmm. Bob and Cindy Russell, I don't know what their names are, but I hate them. Like, they were good actors for who the characters are playing. I mean, Cindy, she's just such a pretentious bitch, and Bob is a pushover.
He's a working man. Come on, Bill. Making a lot of money.
Well, like, so
moving his kids from Indianapolis to wherever they were living, Chicago or something.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-hour drive.
There's a part where, like, in the very beginning where there's Tia gives a heavy line to Maisie. I think it's when she's brushing her hair, and Maisie says to her, like, why do we need boys? And Tia says, we need men so they can grow up, get married, and turn into a shadow. Like, damn. Is she, like, alluding to her dad? Like,
see, that's like, cold.
Is he just a shadow of a man now?
That sounds like something a modern 20-somethings woman would probably tell you in 2023. Yeah, this is 1989. Stone cold. Although cold I have to blooded. Say, yeah, you know I was going with that. But one thing I will point out here is that I thought that the way Maisie and Miles tortured their older sister for her social choices, those kids were they knew all about her her boyfriend, what is his name, Bug. They knew all about that.
Were they too clever? Were they too clever?
They were a little too clever for
that's their age. The one thing that always irked me about the kids is they just I never knew like kids that age that were that like
clever. Yeah, I mean, I have a 7-year-old daughter and she is oblivious to that type of stuff. And
yeah,
and it's not something call. That, you know, my wife and I discuss around the kids, and so it's not clear that, you know, how they would have learned that unless the older sister was literally telling them things. But it irked you. I can see that.
I mean, like, it was just one of those things that always stuck out to me about this movie. Like, the kids were, I guess maybe clever might not be the best word. Like, they were too aware or emotionally aware, at least at that age, to whereas most, you know, most 6-year-olds kind of live in their own little world.
As they should.
Vouch for that.
Yeah.
As they should.
Well, self-awareness doesn't start kicking in until you're, what, like 8 or 9? So some people never get it.
I'd say 37.
That's a big key to life for everyone that's listening out there, self-awareness, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, no, great points. I think I mentioned this in the beginning of the show, but this is John Candy's first and only leading role, right? Like, he's only – like, I just thought that I – it's a shame again that it sucks that he was no longer with us, because it'd be really cool to see. Well, my what point is that, my point is that if he had more leading roles like this, like it shows that he is the best by himself. And even like this, we'll go to the scenes now. So we'll start, this is in the very beginning after he gets a phone call from his brother and he has to call his girlfriend who he works for, that he's not showing up to work the next day because he has to go and, babysit his nieces and nephew.
Hello.
Shanice? Honey? Honey, I have some bad news.
Let me guess. You are not coming into work in the morning.
Just would you just
goodbye.
So there's no one obviously on the other end of that line while filming this, but like that's just
the magic of John Candy.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew exactly what to do and how to do it, the timing, the pacing. And the thing is, in a lot of his movies, he ad-libs. Like, all the great comedians of this day were ad-libbing a lot of their movies.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray was a king of ad-libbing on screen. John Candy ad-libbed all of Home Alone or close to it.
I think Murray was too lazy to read the script. That's why he got so
okay, fine, but the point, maybe, regardless of the underlying motivation to do it,
he ain't wrong.
He was notorious for just, like, showing up for movies unprepared.
Oh, of course, and that's all fine and well, so, and the fact that he can do what he did with no preparation, just spewing out of his ass, is a testament to his talent, and John Candy is a lot of the same. He ad-libbed all of Home Alone. There was no script for him. He just kind of went in there, talked about being a band leader, and gave some life lessons on the back of a moving van.
To Jim's point about the kids were a little too aware and, like, in tune with, like, the struggles in the world of an adult.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Classic. Just deadpan. Although Macaulay Culkin, to his credit, at age, what, 8, 9 years old? Didn't blink.
No, he,
Yeah. Bill, you got to get this lady's wart off the screen. I'm sorry. It's fucking disturbing.
Moly Russell.
There you go. That's better.
Yeah, we're going to get to that one in a
fucking
second.
Just, that thing's staring me down.
Does it bother you, Jim?
It doesn't bother me, but consistently in my face.
Called her melanoma or something.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is going to bring me to my next point that, like, he had, like, throughout this whole fucking movie, he had so many fucking enemies. Exhibit one of when he had to have a not really a parent-teacher conference.
Sort of.
It was, like, kind of, but it was with the assistant principal of the school. Here we go.
I'm Anita Horgarth.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor, my growth, my pimple. I'm Uncle Wart, just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Or melanoma head. They'll call me that. Melanoma head's coming. Oh my God. Uncle Maisie Russell's uncle. I'm her uncle. her mother set up this conference with you.
I'm assistant principal here, as you've probably noticed from the indications on the door.
This door?
The outer door.
The outer door?
Yes.
Because there's nothing on this one.
That's just about enough of that.
Sorry.
I've been an educator for 31.3 years, and in that time, I've seen a lot of bad eggs. I say eggs because at the elementary level, we are not dealing with fully developed individuals. I see a bad egg when I look at your niece. She is a twiddler, a dreamer, a silly heart. She is a jabberbox. And frankly, I don't think she takes a thing in her life or her career as a student, seriously.
She's only six.
That is not a valid excuse. I hear that every day, and I dismiss it.
I don't think I want to know a six-year-old who isn't a dreamer or a silly heart. And I sure don't want to know one who takes their student career seriously. I don't have a college degree. I don't even have a job.
Does anyone have a special story to tell a class about something that happened this week?
This is great.
Maisie.
My uncle was microwaving my socks and the dog threw up on the couch for about an hour.
Honest?
Yes.
Why was your uncle microwaving your socks?
He can't get the goddamn washing machine to work.
Blasphemer! But I know a good kid when I see one. Because they're all good kids. Until dried out, brain dead skags like you drag them down and convince them they're no good. You so much as scowl at my niece or any other kid in this school, and I hear about it, I'm coming looking for you. Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face. A
wink at the end. That's, he knew he got her.
Best line in the movie. Best line in the movie. Even with like the witty comment that Maisie had in the classroom. Yeah, they were just a little too...
They had too much
wit to it. But I will tell you that police interrogation of questions that Macaulay Culkin was giving John Candy about, you know, what his backstory is. Like that's how it is with kids, man. Like it's just every flight. It's just why not? How come? Why can't I? Why? Like my God, just one after another.
Yep. Sometimes it makes me want to just slam my own head in the refrigerator door.
The other enemy he had was
this guy.
I was gonna do Bug. That was the biggest one, but I was also gonna do him in the clown that he hired for his for one of their birthday parties. And the clown shows up drunk.
He's a god in local live entertainment.
Pooter the clown.
There you go.
Oh, good. Put it here.
Goes up the fellow down a few flights of stairs. Look at that giant ass pancake.
This is where you separate the men from the boys.
Where'd you get that pancake flipper?
Where'd you get that shovel? Like, look at this.
I know.
They don't make shovels like that anymore.
No, like a safety hazard.
I mean, they live in Chicago, so.
They get a lot of snow there.
birthday! Woo! I hope you're
hungry. Wish my uncle did that.
You should see that toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
Seriously.
Announcement here. There's going to be a little delay on the clown.
What clown?
Miles' mom hired a clown.
Ooh.
Look at this fucking guy.
Right from the bar, he hasn't slept.
No. At least he painted his makeup. If he even took it off in the night before.
Oh no, this is day two for him.
What's the matter? You don't like clowns?
Yeah, about 5 years ago. Clowns were born to make me puke.
Screw him, that's all I get.
I'm Pooter, the clown. Put it there, we are high.
Kids will love that. I didn't order you. My sister-in-law did. She's not here right now. I'm looking after the... I'm the uncle. Buck Russell's the name.
Right, great. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm late. I was at this all-night bachelorette party. Hey, you need any dildo jokes? I'm the guy.
Good icebreaker.
What did you have? A few drinks this morning? Huh? Like, I think you did, didn't you?
What are you, Mother Cabrini? You never touch this stuff?
No, but I wouldn't be drinking if I was going to entertain some kids.
Hey, I don't have to take any shit from you. You know who I am? In the field of local live home entertainment. Oh, my God!
Get in your mouse and get out of here.
Hey, you, let me tell you something, you low-life lying, four-flushing sack of shit.
That was classic.
Watson Shack of shit.
Who was that guy? Do we know who the actor was? Like, was it anyone like well known?
I didn't even look it up. What are you, Mother Cabrini?
Mother Cabrini.
I haven't heard mother name that name in a long time. That's classic. That's just good solid humor. Punching out a clown. Again, John Candy. This is the kind of stuff he does. It's like not over the top, but it's perfectly timed. Although I think Bill's getting to our favorite person in the whole movie.
Yeah. So his like enemy number one was Tia's boyfriend. His name was Bug.
And Bug. Yeah,
Bug. Like he's just some like we all know a guy like him. It was at some point in our lives.
Well. They certainly are scraping the bottom of the barrel for cheerleaders these days.
What are you doing here?
We were just driving by, going out for some ice cream. Thought you might like to join us.
I said I would be home at 10. It's not even 9.
Who said anything about that? I just thought you'd like to join us for some ice cream. Maybe your Bug here can join us. We can talk about burying the hatchet. You know what a hatchet is, don't you, Bug?
It's an axe?
Sort of, yeah. I got one in the car if you'd like to see it.
A pass.
Fair enough. I like to carry it, you know. You never know when you're going to need it. A situation may come up, say, for example, someone's been drinking and about to drive a loved one home. Then I like to know I have it. Not to kill, no. Just to maim. Take a little off the shoulder. The elbow. Shave a little meat off the old kneecap. Ooh. You got both kneecaps? I like to keep mine razor sharp, too. Sharp enough you can shave with them. Why, I've been known to circumcise a gnat. You're not a gnat, are you, Bug? Wait a minute. Bug? Gnat? Is there a little similarity there? Whoa, I think there is. You understand what I'm talking about? I don't think you do. I'll be right back.
And I like even the scene where like he first meets, where they first meet, when he's dropping Tia off at school. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's picking her up.
Yeah.
He's picking her up from school and he's making out with her. And that's when there's that scene where, you know.
You know, so one thing about this that I think it's a little underrated, like it went from funny to like subtle psychopath seamlessly. Like it was meant to scare the kid. And you paused on a key part of the movie clip here, where if you look, just look at Bug's face. He is completely scared shitless. He doesn't know if John Candy's bluffing or if he's really going to go out and pull a hatchet out of the back of that 77 Buick.
He's in a few other movies.
Yeah, I've seen that guy before and more recently. But I think this particular scene, at least for me, kind of shows John Candy's, I'll call it range here. Because he goes from comedy when he shows up and starts talking to them, kind of poking at her for being out with this loser, to all of a sudden almost threatening to, you know, lop the guy's kneecaps off with a hatchet. In a sort of not comedic, but sort of psychopath way, flawless transition.
Well, like when he makes the joke of when he's like, oh, what's this guy's name? His name's Bug. He's like, oh, first or last? First, what's his last name? Spray.
Classic.
Like they're just, you don't get shit like this today. This was John Candy's finest hour. So then eventually, as the movie goes on, Bug, he's a scumbag. At one point, I forget how this led up to it, but he was going to go. Uncle John Candy goes to this party that they're supposed to be at, and he knows the guy's upstairs with his niece, but he ends up walking in on him, and he's cheating on her while smoking a cigar and holding a drill.
That door opens. I'm going to kick somebody's ass. Do you hear me?
The power drill.
You know, in the extended version, they show him murdering the two teenagers.
Nice. I have not seen that version.
Is that what he did there? Did he just fucking kill them both, or he stuck a screwdriver up the guy's ass? Like, I mean, yeah, that was
wrapped them up in some duct tape and threw them in the trunk of his car.
I don't know, man. You were saying how it kind of goes creepy sometimes, Joe. That scene was definitely what
I know. Like, I think, I mean, this movie on the whole shows a lot of different sides of John Candy that are not always his, you know, pseudo slapstick from like Planes, Trains, Automobiles or Spaceballs, right? Like he was a psychopath in this movie at times, and for good reason. For as much of a loser as this guy is in life, right? Carefree, living in a shitty apartment full of junk.
Bowling balls
in the closet, you know, working at his girlfriend's tire store or pseudo working at his girlfriend's tire store because he never actually goes to work. You know, he actually does take the responsibility of watching his brother and sister-in-law's kids pretty seriously.
He's a yes man. He means well, but he says yes to too many people, so he can't commit to everything, so he ends up doing nothing.
That's true, and I don't disagree with that characterization, Jim. What I'm saying here is that for all his flaws with being sort of this low-life yes man, as you like to call it, he does take his role of watching the three of them pretty seriously. I mean, even chasing down Tia. He could have let her go to that party, you know, and whatever happened. He was going to go to the racetrack, right? He could have just did it, but he just...
I think it was wasn't it like he had to leave, he had to bring the kids to the racetrack. Yep,
because Tia was supposed to watch them when he was at the racetrack. And then she went out and Bug picked her up middle of the day and to go, I guess, bang her brains out or something and ditch her, apparently. You know, but he did take it pretty seriously, his responsibility to the kids. So a semi-serious side of John Candy that you don't always see in his comedy movies.
Well, that was like a John Hughes, like that's what John does. He saves like a heart tender moment at the end, like works that into the comedy.
Yeah, but Candy pulls it off, though. He pulls it off really well. I mean, he did the same. You know, he was the same sort of, you know, even in Planes, Trains, Automobiles, which we did on the show earlier in this calendar. I think it was last year, maybe around Thanksgiving. Same idea. At the end, he was real sensitive and serious about his wife, not his wife dying and such. So lots of dynamic acting from John Candy. I really like it.
I really could not imagine anyone else playing this role. Jim, I think you might have missed this part, but I mentioned in the beginning that the other actors that were considered for this role were Danny DeVito, Tom Cruise, George Windit.
Did you fucking say Tom Cruise?
My reaction.
Michael Keaton and Dan Aykroyd.
Well, didn't Michael Keaton basically already play this character in Mr. Mom at that point? It's very similar. It would have been a retread for him. Kind of similar scenario. Guy put out a situation that he's not normally with kids and shit like that. I don't know where they get Tom Cruise.
Well, this movie came out in 89. So, I mean, Keaton was already probably doing Batman or Beetlejuice.
I guess it would have been like a different perspective. It would have probably been like a frat boy type of perspective that they would have had. It had to have been a completely different movie if it was Tom Cruise. He's probably rolling kegs in and having a bunch of people over.
And I was telling Bill earlier when he mentioned prior to you getting on that I don't see Tom Cruise in a role like this. I mean, sure, I told Bill, he did Risky Business, and that's funny to a point. But, Top Gun's
not funny. Good man, hysterical.
I know, rolling on the floor. You fuck with the wrong Marine. I know. So I'm just like, I heard that. I mean, and I could see Danny DeVito, Dan Aykroyd. You could finesse George Wendt into this, but Tom Cruise, I'm just like, that just doesn't.
Nah. Yeah, that would be the odd man out.
The other ones you could see it from other roles that they've done or have had done previously. So it's just like you could shoehorn it.
Who was the last guy?
Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd was gonna play him. Wow.
I could see it.
Similar.
He was in the process of doing Ghostbusters too.
Oh, that's right. It's that year where everything came out. Everything is this an 89 movie?
89.
This is an 89 movie.
Yeah. So everything came out.
What movies came out in 89?
Everything.
A lot of good
this one. Ghostbusters 2, Last Crusade.
Batman.
Michael Keaton Batman. Summer 89.
Christmas Vacation, Back to the Future 2,
Jesus.
Major League, Field of Dreams.
Like I said, everything came out that year.
Dude, that's Purge, a lineup.
Dead Poets Society, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, License to Kill, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Weekend at Bernie's.
Quite frankly, any one of those movies is a knockout.
We don't even get this many good movies in a decade.
No, and they had them in like a span of 12 months. Like all those movies are considered in some way a classic. In one way or another, all of them, every single one of them,
easily.
Turner and Hooch.
I mean, I would watch Major League right now.
Did I say License to Kill?
You did. Even as far as Bond movies goes, that's middle of the pack. It ain't bad. Timothy Dalton. You could wing it.
Lethal Weapon 2 came out. Getting too old for this shit.
Yeah,
man, that is a lineup. Jesus. And then you see today, and you just get trash.
I don't think I can name that movie that many good movies in the last decade.
Nobody goes to the movies anymore. Like all those.
It's a shame.
You would jump out of your seat to go see. And know what the unless it's something like I really, really care about or something
But even then, what do you care about anymore? We're saturated with superhero movies across the board.
Oh my God.
We're saturated to the point where it's like crashing out of solution. Like it's horrible. They're all junk too.
The new Ghostbusters trailer came out yesterday, and I thought it looks pretty cool. Like I'm pretty excited, but this is why I try to back off from social media because I enjoyed it, and then I go on there and everyone's like bitching and whining about things, and it's like listen, I was one of those people that did that, but I finally have come to terms and peace with myself that we're not going to have that ever again. So let's just try and be present and try to enjoy this for what it is. Yes, it's never going to be like the classics. No movie is ever like its original form, but just go see it. And if you like it, such in this case, it's Ghostbusters. I'm going to go there. I'm going to watch it. And then, I'll decide if I want to rewatch or not. I like the other one that they did that came out a couple of years ago. I thought that was pretty good. Not the Ghostbusters in 2016 with the all-female cast, by the way. I'm talking about the one that came out a couple of years ago. But no, it's saturated with Marvel movies, and that's why I get excited. Just superhero movies in general. So that's why I get a little excited when I saw that preview came out yesterday. So
delightful.
I really wish they would do real comedies like this again. You can't make fun of anything.
No. Although, you know, it's funny.
You can't have a scene like when his who is it? The Cindy's friend comes walking in and she's looking for her, but because she doesn't know that.
Oh, Marcy Cindy, from across the street. Yeah.
Yeah. She comes looking in, and what does she hear in the background? She hears Buck
doing grunting at the washing like machine,
raping
Gorilla in the washing machine.
He sounds like he's raping his sister-in-law.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, I know. But I
it's
think
simple humor like that, it's like,
you know, I'm trying to just
do it, and who the fuck cares what people think?
You know, true. That too. I mean, you know, and to that point, Jim, I think some of that's been lost, right? Because I don't think there are that many directors anymore who are willing to just say, fuck it, and see what happens. Part of that's because movies have become so cost prohibitive to produce. It's one thing in these 80s and 90s movies when the budgets were not astronomical. Like Home Alone was made on a $17 million budget. Like $17 million today doesn't pay for the food that they have on set on a modern movie. And so, but if you think about it, like, In that kind of context, no one's going to take a risk at this point to make a movie that will, like this, almost assuredly, if made today, would not return on the cost of production.
Yeah,
because it would be deemed offensive in one way or another, and no one would go see it given our current sensitivities. There's always a cohort of people like us who are just like, well, fuck that, I don't believe in sensitivity, because I don't personally, and. Yeah, I'd see it, and you too would see it if it came out today, if this was dropped in theaters or on streaming or whatever. But more often than not, people are like, oh, we can't make fun of this group or this group or this group. You can't say that. You can't.
I think that's like a small percentage, though. Like, but they have the fattest mouths, and
they have the loudest voices.
And they
voices.
Just spend all day because they have nothing else to live for. So they just spend all day on like Twitter complaining about, or whatever it's called now, Brand X. To complain about it all fucking day. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though. People with the loudest mouths get the most done. It's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? It's just, it's
irritating. That used to be true when everybody, when you saw the person face to face, but now we don't know who these fucking people are on the internet. They just, half of them are bots. Like,
it's keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
It's a shame, too, because movies like this could get made and do really well today, because it pokes fun at, you know, aspects of sort of, you know, I won't say coming of age, but certainly growing up quick for John Candy, but also showing that there is a reality of, you know, kids making poor decisions and adults having to intervene and stuff like that. So
one of you guys said it about like how directors, writers, producers, whatever, the list goes on. That they're just too scared to touch it because, like, they know that, like, if a movie like this gets made and their name's on it, like, their career is over tomorrow. And with budgets, this Home Alone, you said it was $17 million. Mm-hmm. This was maybe around there, maybe a little bit more, depending on whatever the time period was of making it. But, like, every fucking movie today is done in front of a green screen. John Hughes, he, along with Home Alone, he built the entire set inside the house in the movie of each, built a two-story house in the side of a gymnasium in a high school. You know, like you actually hired people to do shit.
Carpentry, yeah.
To make a movie. And now everything's done in fucking green screen. But yeah, this is a great movie. Great flick.
People need to go. If you haven't, I mean, I'd be surprised if people hadn't seen this movie, given it was, you know. I don't know where you got that clip from, but it's like
Back to the Future.
I couldn't hear it all the way.
Ah. It's when he's in the hot tub
with the gunshots that fuck. Bulletproof vest.
Bulletproof vest.
That's classic. It's like your swear button on TV. Oh man, I can't, you know, I should watch more John Candy movies when I have time. I just,
you know, which one of his, I don't think it doesn't get talked about a lot, is the him with the Aykroyd movie, Great Outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That doesn't get talked about.
What's the worst John Candy movie?
The worst?
Ooh. Is there a worst?
There's a few worst.
Well, but is he the cause of the worst?
Are we talking about the movie being the worst, or like his particular character being the worst?
The movie.
The movie, okay.
He's been in a few clunkers.
Well, every actor's been in a few clunkers, but
I'm gonna say Cool Runnings.
That's actually one of the better ones, probably.
I wouldn't have called that a clunker.
I wouldn't call it a clunker, but I would probably say, well, that's the worst movie that he's been in.
No.
One of the worst.
Not even in the top three.
Are you what looking you at a particular list right now?
No. I know them off the top of my head.
It's not Vacation. I'm trying to think back to like my childhood.
His last one.
Oh, what the fuck was his last one?
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think.
Canadian Bacon.
No.
That's not a bad Canadian movie.
I never saw
Wagons East, but I've heard of it.
And also that Chevy Chase movie. Oh, it was awful. What the hell was it called? With Dan Aykroyd and Tupac. What the fuck was it called?
What the hell?
That was a good one.
What the hell was he in with Tupac?
What was it called? Nothing to Lose. Not Nothing to Lose. Nothing But Trouble. Nothing but Trouble.
I have never seen that movie.
Bill, type in on YouTube, Nothing But Trouble, Digital Underground.
Do I even want to know?
Yeah, well, I'm doing this. But he was like, we forgot to mention he was also in Stripes. He was also
Stripes.
He was in Stripes. He was in the security guard for in Wally World of Vacation.
Yeah. Wasn't he in the Blues Brothers?
He was the police, state police detective.
Yeah.
Brewster's Millions. That's another one. Little Shop of Horror, too.
Little Shop of Horrors, yeah. I'm trying to remember what else he was in. I remember.
There you go. It's got to be the first one there.
This is Nothing But Trouble. I have not seen this movie. So.
What the hell? I have never seen this movie.
This is the worst John Candy movie.
Drop the beat, Jay.
What the fuck?
Been all around the world.
Okay, Chevy. Guitar.
Been all around the world.
Is that him?
No, that's not him. That's Tupac, though.
Oh, that's Tupac.
I came for the party to get naughty, get my rocks on, eat popcorn, watch you move your body to the pop song that I'm singing, ding-a-linging, funky beats ringing.
Oh, I've had a fucking move.
Yeah, Jim, dang. I don't know. You know, most times in my life, I can respond to something. I don't know what to say here.
Fast forward to the end.
No.
You gotta get the pianos.
Oh,
go back.
How far back we gotta go with this fucking shit?
There, is that him on the piano? There okay. Oh my god, that's fucking terrible, man.
Did this movie make any money?
See, pull up a John Candy scene from that movie. Maybe it makes it a little better.
No.
John Candy and drag. Just type in Nothing to Lose, John Candy and drag.
Why are you sullying John Candy's good name with this? What is wrong with you?
Scroll
down.
You showed me this scene.
No, that's not it.
What, this one?
You gotta scroll down.
Is that Michael Imperioli?
Nothing. Just put John Candy. Just put Nothing to Lose, John Candy.
That's Eugene Levy.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's where the private eyes. Not private eyes. Spies like us.
What are you looking at, you schmuck? Oh, isn't he cute? And look at these muscles!
Get your hands off me. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm a police officer.
Oh, he gets so frisky when he sees the badge.
Hey.
Hello. What are you doing later on tonight?
Take a walk, you jerk.
Let's trot. Why can't you look this good? Mother Nature wasn't so kind to some of us.
I'm moving.
Oh my god, it's terrible. Oh my god. I gotta get this off the fucking screen.
I may have to like pour mouthwash in my eyes instead of my mouth. Jesus Christ, Jim. That's how you sully a good actor's name, you know?
You didn't go to the best part.
That's all right. We're good.
No,
John Candy, in that movie, Nothing to Lose. Do you wonder how bad it was? John Candy played two roles. He was like a police chief, and then he also played the twin sister of the police chief. So he would like come out dressed up in drag and like grab Chevy Chase's ass. It was really good.
I never knew these fucking movies.
You seem really excited about it, so you know? Not for nothing, Chief.
It's so bad it's good.
It's a classic.
They're watching Rhinestone Cowboys, Stallone in it.
Dude, I'm
more like Brokeback Mountain.
Talk about a fucking clunker.
You said it was his last movie, and I was like, Canadian Bacon, I think, was his last movie. But
yeah, I'm
gonna. Was he supposed to be in Nothing to Lose anyway? He looked like Pizza the Hut.
No, that wasn't Nothing to Lose.
That wasn't Nothing to Lose.
No, that was Spies Like Us.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Well, either way, he looked like a sex offender. So
he probably was.
All right. So, well, okay. Beyond the
that was it. That was the end of the show. Sex offender.
That'll be it.
Oh, don't do me dirty. Don't do me dirty like that, you fucking scumbag.
We're switching all these words up. Do me dirty, sex offender. That's what's...
Yeah.
I should have saw that coming. Jesus, tap dancing Christ. Jim coming in hot.
There's one thing that we can learn from him is that all you got to do is just sit back, drink a few beers, and accept the shit that you cannot change. This is a good movie.
I will not watch.
No. I'm good.
I'd have to, not for all the whiskey in Ireland. How long is it, though? Is it like $1.20?
Probably. Demi Moore's in it.
Not enough.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Sorry, Jim. She's not enough.
Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, John Candy, Demi Moore. There was a couple B-listers.
You would think with that cast, he wouldn't be a fetid washcloth, but here we are.
Yeah, him and like Chris Farley, I often think about like, when I see their movies, I'm like,
yeah,
I wonder what comedy could have been like had they just been around for a little.
You know, it's actually funny you mentioned that. I had a conversation with somebody at my office recently about what would have happened to their movies and their acting if they were still around in our current sensitivities, because our current culture supersedes all current actors and actresses, and they all kind of bow to it to some level. I wonder what would have happened to people like John Candy or Chris Farley if they were still around. Because a lot of the comedic greats, like Dave Chappelle, for instance, you know, he toned down, but then he toned right back up because he doesn't like the trans community, for example. So he
does not like
the trans community. But my point is like, I wonder, I was talking about it with this person and, you know, what could have been. Like, and how would they have responded to our current sensibilities?
It's the same thing that can be said with music too. Like everyone talks about like what music be like if Nirvana or Kurt Cobain ever killed himself and Nirvana like just kept going. You know, what would like someone like Kurt Cobain or Jim Morrison or
Jimmy,
you know, Jimi Hendrix, people like that. Like, I've just, what they would think of music today.
I'll be called trash, to be honest.
There's no human element in music. Just all you need is a MacBook, basically. But I'm getting off topic. So we beat this up pretty good, fellas. I really enjoyed this. We got to do another comedy like this. What do you guys want to do next week?
I haven't given it much thought.
You guys want to do a stinker, like a since?
Well, I thought we're sticking with classics.
Jim clearly has his favorite stinkers. And certain scenes from them, but
I thought we were sticking with classics, and if that's the I'm okay to deviate for an episode here and there to some utter garbage.
I mean, you could argue that, like, let's say for example, Batman and Robin is a classic in a way of being an absolute pile of dog shit.
Yeah, it's a testament to how you don't make a movie.
What if we do Lawrence of Arabia?
Do Lawrence of Arabia?
That's an epic movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Epic movies, yeah.
Well, if you want to do epic movies, I mean, we can pick from a laundry list. I'm okay with whatever. I mean, I don't surprise me, but I'm okay with whatever. We should do Spawn. Spawn's a classic.
We'll do Spawn.
It's a clunker. It's so, you know, that movie had so much promise because the character Spawn is so badass.
When did he come out? Like 1993? That movie, they tried to bring that like right away.
Yeah, but like, you get Spawn, the character's awesome, the necroplasm armor, and then you get that pile.
Leguizamo did play a good clown.
For what it's worth, he did a great job. It's just that everybody else did awful. Martin Sheen, awful.
I forgot about Martin Sheen.
He was the main antagonist.
Yeah.
And I hope the animator of Malbogia literally got fired and is unemployed.
He didn't get fired, Joe. He had to go back to school. He was in third grade.
It was like the director's kid. Hey, Jimmy, draw me a demon.
Here you go, son. You can plug a fucking HDMI cable in. Take over.
All right. We'll save it for next week then.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go with Spawn. All right. So thank you for everyone who tuned in on Twitch tonight. And everyone who tunes into our streaming platforms, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify, subscribe to the podcast. We got a couple more while we were on our break. We are now, people in Spain are listening to us. So,
all right. I dig it.
What up, world? Good seeing you guys. We'll do Spawn. Yep. Share my thoughts on it. Yeah, beat that up good. All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, and goodbye.